Yo, welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live, your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution with color breaking news, culture, memetic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. And make no mistake, that's exactly what we are living through nowadays. Actually, after the Simply Bitcoin IRL episode yesterday that I had with Jeff Booth, he was talking about this concept where we were seeing increases in centralization. So they're trying to remain in control. And then the other way is just more increases in decentralization. I think that this platform that a lot of Bitcoiners are signing up to, we're going to dive deep into what it is, what it's all about. Nostr is so important, right? Because even with Elon Musk, right, you know, acquiring Twitter, you still have to trust in one individual not to censor anybody, not to deplatform anybody. And that's a tremendous amount of trust. And the opposite, and this is where really Bitcoin comes into play, right? You know, it is called the money of enemies for a reason. You have to be okay with even your worst enemy using Bitcoin. And there's really nothing you could really do about it. Like, you can't stop them. You can't censor them. And I really believe that that's the world that we're heading into. As less people stop trusting basically other people's computers and they start running their own, right? And, you know, that's why it's so important. I really make the case that a Bitcoin node is a Trojan horse for sovereign computing, right? Running your own, you know, messaging server, image server, rather than just relying on a third party, because those gatekeepers are how they get away with all this censorship, all this control. And then it all kind of ties back into this idea of taking personal responsibility. At the end of the day, you do have to take personal responsibility to run your own computer, to run your own node. And if anything goes down, it's going to get easier as time goes by. But if anything goes down, it's your responsibility to put it back up rather than relying on someone else, right? Because if you rely on someone else, what you're doing is you're putting your trust into their hands, right? Whether that is relying on someone else with the storage of your wealth, which is, you know, what banking is, right? Whether that is, you know, trusting someone else's node, trusting someone else's copy of the Bitcoin blockchain, right? I think now that we're heading into a more decentralized world, it's about individuals taking that responsibility back, taking it back into their own hands. And I think the world is going to be a much better place because of it, because rather than just censoring ideas, right? Crazy idea or crazy thought, right? You are not able to censor ideas anymore. And now you have to debate those ideas, and may the best idea win that debate, right? So it's a radically different world than the world that we've been living in for quite a while. And I think for a lot of people, it's going to be very, very scary. Anyways, but I would like to make the case that, you know, I would rather have dangerous freedom than, you know, what is it? Comfortable slavery? I don't even know if that's even a thing, but I see a lot of people, you know, advocating against freedom of speech, against freedom. So crazy world we live in nowadays. Opti, what's good, bro? How you doing? How you feeling this morning?
Well, you know me, I am jacked up on coffee this morning, so good to go. But yeah, man, great intro. I'm excited to get into the news today. I haven't jumped on Nostr yet, but I've been seeing a lot of good talk about it. I made a joke the other day about, like, oh, we are doing the Twitter exodus early this year. So I think I'm gonna hold back, because I'm tired of jumping on another platform that we leave in like a month or two. So if we stay on Nostr for a little bit, you will see me over there and I will join the fun, the real Bitcoin Twitter. But man, the network effects of Twitter, it's the digital newspaper. So I love Twitter. I wouldn't know any of you guys if it wasn't for Twitter. But without going too long in the intro on the culture, I'm gonna talk a little bit on the idea of, like, Bitcoin isn't inevitable. It's going to take us as individuals to continue to push that message and take up the fight for ourselves in whatever way we can. And I think this is something I'll be talking about a lot this year.
Amen to that, brother. And I agree with you. I think that is something you're going to be talking about a lot this year. Speaking of nodes and numbers, let's go to the numbers.
The Bitcoin Numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today.
All right, everybody, at the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is $16,822. The sats per dollar were at 5,945. Block height, 770,508. Reachable Bitcoin nodes, 15,799. Blocks to the halving, 69,492. Halving estimate that day could not come any sooner, April 26, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 5,168 Bitcoin. Capacity value, $86 million. Realized monetary inflation, 1.76%. And the market capitalization of Bitcoin, $323 billion with a B. Anyways, speaking of centralization, decentralization, that's really kind of be the theme of today's episode. I think this is a beautiful example, right? This is India, right? And this article says Indians moved over $3.8 billion to foreign exchanges since crypto tax rules, right? And here's the thing about Bitcoin, right? It doesn't need to be anywhere, right? And that's completely different than how governments are able to have been able to regulate things, right? And because Bitcoin is so easy to move, because, you know, you could just write down a, even if, let's say you can't move it to another foreign exchange, let's say they shut down the internet in your country, you could still pick up and go take those 12 or 24 words and you're going to go to a territory that treats you better, right? So that's eventually is the key word, is going to force governments in thinking about how they approach this, right? And then in the book, The Sovereign Individual makes the case that the relationship between individual and government, individual and state, is going to change from how it is right now, which is like serf king, right, to customer business, right? Because the territorial, the geographical advantage doesn't really work anymore, right? You're going to just go where you're treated best, right? And you're already seeing examples of this. This isn't a theory anymore. And specifically in the United States, right, where the different states have different regulations, different laws, different friendliness to business. What happened was California and New York became very hostile, high taxes. And what happened? You're seeing a max exodus of people going to Texas and Florida, where they're a lot more friendly towards business. They don't have state income tax. Right. So you're seeing that. It's almost as if people are fleeing towards freedom. And you saw the same thing in Cuba. People would take the risk, get on a raft, try to go to, you know, Florida, that across those 90 miles of ocean. And you saw the same thing in East Berlin and West Berlin. People would cross, you know, the infamous Berlin Wall in order to basically seek a better future. Right. So I think that that was limited as long as governments controlled the money, right? You can't just pick up and go and bring a briefcase full of cash. You know, it's going to be very difficult, right? You know, it's easy to find. It's physical. There's only so much, you know, you could stuff in your pants, right? But people try to do that. They tried to hide gold in their teeth, right? But it's very limited what you could do. But now you could write down 12 or 24 words and you could just take millions, billions, if not trillions of dollars with you. And in the process of doing that, it frees humans to go where they are treated best. So it kind of creates this like better flag theory type of situation. And I think this is exactly what you're seeing play out here in this Indian example. Indians moved more than $3.8 billion in trading volume from local to international crypto exchanges after the country announced stiff crypto tax rules last February, according to a research study by Eseya Center, a New Delhi-based technology policy think tank. total of $3.85 billion was shifted from February through October, the study said. The report provides the first monetary estimate of the impact of India's controversial crypto tax policy on domestic exchanges. Prime Minister Modi's government announced a 30% tax on crypto profits and a 1% tax deducted at source on all transactions on February 1st, 2022. The 30% tax went into effect on April 1st and the 1% TDS on July 1st. When the taxes were announced, the industry was unable to back up its prediction that the levies would kill liquidity. The SEA Center report found that domestic exchanges lost 81% of their trading volumes in 4 months after the imposition of the much debated 1% TDS rule. Days before the 30% tax came into effect, CEO and founder of WazirX, one of India's biggest exchanges, said Indians would find ways to not be a part of the domestic system because people are not going to leave crypto, right? And I think that's spot on. And you're seeing, again, like kind of like a better flag, like the better flag theory type of thing play out where, right, it's not that you're going to force people out of Bitcoin and shitcoins. You're just going to force people to find an alternative where they're not being taxed, you know, this ridiculous amount. And I think that's exactly what you're seeing play out in India right now. And I think the reason I want to cover that today in the numbers, this is an example of what I believe is going to happen on a worldwide scale as governments continue to clamp down and try to force people to use their money. But I don't think it's going to work, right? I think it's just going to make a lot more mobile. And it's going to make people look at countries like El Salvador and say, look at that. That, you know, it's a country that's friendly to business. It's a country that's friendly to Bitcoiners. I might consider moving there because it just doesn't make sense to stay where I'm at and pay this tax. What do I get for this tax? Is my life improved because of this tax? Or is this tax primarily to fund a government that I might not necessarily agree with, right? This is a brave new world that we're heading into, man. Exciting times, but it's also going to be very tumultuous during this transition. Opti, what are your thoughts? And then we'll go on to the news.
Well, I think this is just further proof to the idea that we talk about here on the show all the time and what you see on Twitter is that like friendly jurisdictions towards Bitcoin will thrive and people will find sly roundabout ways to avoid legalized plunder. So like this is the beauty of an open monetary network. People will go where they're treated best. And I say it all the time, you know, the two votes that matter the most is with your feet and your pocketbooks. And as we continue to see throughout the world with different examples, whether it's in China, whether it's in Nigeria, whether it's in India, people will continue to avoid, being stolen from, whether it's from a CBDC, they flee the fiat slavery that we say all the time, and they are opting into Bitcoin, opting into this open monetary network by choice because the incentives of Bitcoin are just set up in such a way that you're incentivized to save in Bitcoin. It's just like Bitcoin incentives just continue to work. Bitcoin is simply better and people will flock towards it. So people will avoid losing capital. And if you don't want to lose the capital, if you don't want to lose the brain drain of your country, of your state, then you need to treat Bitcoin and Bitcoiners better because, you know, we have the best money and Bitcoin simply is the best money in the world and the world's waking up to this. So, hey, continue to have draconian laws on Bitcoin and people will continue to avoid them in any way possible. Like this is the beauty of the money that we have now. Like we have the choice to opt out of this madness and we continue to see this play out in real time. So man, just absolutely awesome.
100%. Absolutely awesome. Really excited. And I think it is going to make the world definitely a better place. But what Jeff Booth was saying last night, you know, a lot of the totalitarians, a lot of the power hungry politicians, I think that they stand a lot to lose. Maybe not so from a financial perspective, but definitely from their ability to control people. I think Bitcoin just is a bad day for them. It's not going to be as easy as it once was. And I think that's a very tough pill to swallow for a lot of these individuals. But I mean, it is what it is. Like, it is what it is. Anyways, let's get to news. Lots to talk about. Let's check it out.
The Daily News.
brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gapped Bitcoin transactions. Scan and display QR codes directly on the device to sign transactions and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as the Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, and Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. All right, so this is pretty nuts, dude. This is straight up struggle sessions. Struggle session is where, like, they put you in a room and they tell you, this is what you're supposed to believe. And you're like, I don't believe that. And then they put your arm behind your back and they hurt you. And they're like, yes, I believe that. I believe that. Like, I can't believe this is where we are. For audio listeners, this is a tweet by, you know, famous Jordan Peterson, January 3rd, 2023. I'm going to make the case, and I've made the case for you guys before. We actually posted Simply Bitcoin Live, and the name of the episode is Jordan Peterson is a Bitcoiner. And I stand by that, right? Remember what we told you during the numbers section. Right. As governments continue to clamp down, they continue to try to control their people. The problem that they have is now there's an alternative. And that alternative is better than their alternative. So if they hurt people too much, people are just going to leave the system. And once they leave the system, they're not incentivized to go back. And this is already happening in Africa. This is already happening in South America, where the inflation rates are so high that people need to seek an alternative because it's a matter of putting food on the table. The case in Nigeria is fascinating, right? About 0.5% of the population has adopted the government CBDC, and it's like 30% of the youth population is already in Bitcoin. And the government is having a hard time there convincing people to use the CBDC. Why would they? The CBDC, they're always going to want to censor it, and they're always going to want to debase it. Why would people choose that? Like, it doesn't make sense, right? And I asked Jeff Booth this last night. I was like, okay, so why is it that we're seeing more Bitcoin adoption in the global south than we're seeing in developed countries? And the argument that he was making is like, look, if you're close to a monopoly, right, the people closest to the monopoly don't have the incentive to seek an alternative, but the people farther away do have that incentive. And I think that's what we're seeing here. Anyways, so Jordan Peterson tweeted this. He said, breaking, the Ontario College of Psychologists has demanded that I submit myself to mandatory social media communication retraining with their experts for, among other crimes, retweeting Pierre Poilievre and criticizing Justin Trudeau and his political allies. And for anyone who doesn't know, Pierre Poilievre is running in an election against Justin Trudeau. So apparently, right now, we are in the movie where, you know, this institution, just for you to just remain, a doctor, you have to go. And I'll make the case, guys. Do you really think that if you can't say what you think, do you really think they're going to be okay with you transactioning with who you think is all right? No, they want to control you. This is why CBDCs are so important to them, right? This is why a lot of them hate Bitcoin. This is why Justin Trudeau has said, there's videos of him saying, look, this Bitcoin thing is a scam. And it's interesting because Pierre Poilievre has said the opposite. It's interesting how that works, right? So this is crazy. This is a struggle session. Jordan Peterson was also deplatformed from Twitter in the past, right? It's only since Elon took over that he's able to go back. But my argument is, let's take away that ability from anybody to deplatform anybody. This is very, very dangerous. This is crazy that we're seeing straight up struggle sessions in the West. So he goes on to say, because Elon Musk responded to him with an exclamation mark, says, it's worse than you think in Canada. Regulated professionals are now terrified into silence by their respective colleagues. This means they are no longer able to say what they believe to be true, and who needs that from their lawyers, physicians, or psychologists? And I would make the case, right, that he is a Bitcoiner. He's just not aware that he's one. And I would make the case for Elon, too. He's a Bitcoiner. He's not aware that he's one. So think about it from the CBDC perspective. Do you think you're actually going to say what you believe if you know that the government on a whim could turn off your money, do you really believe that you're going to say that? If it's a matter of being able to put food on the table for your family, no, you're going to be like, I don't know if it's worth saying that. I'm going to shut up because I want to be able to provide with my family. And it creates this whole society of censorship is the way, top-down control. It's absolutely scary. The alternative is, and this is why I believe Bitcoiners are so vocal. They're so, you know, a lot of us call us toxic and hardcore and whatever, because they don't have that fear. It's like, dude, I could say what I want and you can't, and it has to be debated, that idea, but you can't deplot, you can't take my money because of what I'm saying. Go pound sand. And to totalitarians, right? That is a very, very, very scary concept. Anyways, so let's check out a couple things. So first thing, this is the alternative to my understanding. This is the decentralized alternative to Twitter. It's an open source project called Noster. And Walker from the Crypto Couple did an excellent write-up explaining for what it is. So we're going to go through it. And then, you know, a lot of the things that we were saying about how, you know, governments aren't okay with you saying certain things, and all of that would have been treated like conspiracy theory, would have been treated like speculation, but now it's come out as a fact. And I would like to make the case for you guys is, do you really believe that a government that is not okay with you saying certain things, criticizing certain political candidates, do you believe that that same government, if you give them the power of you using a CBDC, do you believe that they're not going to censor or stop your money for their own political means? I mean, do you really want to give someone so much power over you? To me, it makes absolutely no sense why someone would put themselves in that situation. And this is why I'm still hell-bent on saying Bitcoin or slavery, because I do believe it's like that, right? They're trying to get rid of cash, right? You could say that they're going to be successful in that because they're the ones that issue that cash, they're the ones that control it. So what are the two alternatives? The two alternatives is something that's truly decentralized, which is Bitcoin, or something that they control, a totally centralized system that you have to trust a bureaucratic elite not to use that system against you. Like, that is absolutely mind-blowing why you would choose that. Right. And apparently this is the decentralized version of Twitter. Right. So it goes on to say, you're probably seeing all the folks on Twitter talking about Noster recently. Jack likes Noster so much, he donated 14 Bitcoin to Noster open source development. It says, what is Noster? Noster stands for notes and other stuff transmitted by relays. Think of Noster like a social network, but similar to Twitter, where you can create posts or notes. Like posts, follow, unfollow people, and boost posts. You may see post and note used interchangeably on Noster. In an event, a Noster can be any one of these previously mentioned actions. One thing to make abundantly clear, Noster is a protocol. It's a set of rules that servers and clients use to communicate, just like Bitcoin, email, or BitTorrent. Noster is not an app nor a platform, but many applications can be built on Noster. Unlike Twitter, Noster is decentralized. There are no central servers or corporations who control what you can post and what others can see. Noster is censorship resistant and open source. How does Noster work? To use Noster, you must run a client. A client is simply the way you interact with Noster. To publish something on Noster, you write a post and sign it with your keys and send it to multiple relays. You have two keys, your public key and your private key. And think of the public key as your username. Think of the private key as your password. To find another Noster user, you just need to search in your client a choice using their public key. You'll see a lot of people posting theirs on Twitter. A relay is a server hosted by you and someone else. Anyone can run a relay. To get updates from other people, you ask multiple relays if they know anything about these other people. All a relay does is accept posts from people and forward them to other people. You don't need to trust the relays because signatures are verified on the client side. Why is Noster important? Noster enables censorship-resistant publishing, and I think that's the key here, and I think that's really the connection with this. What happens to these people that basically want to put Jordan Peterson through a struggle session? What happens to governments if they can no longer censor information if they can no longer censor money? It doesn't work anymore. What happens? Things change, or at least that's the theory that the sovereign individual makes. That's the theory that Jeff Booth made last night. And that's the theory that I believe in as well. Things change. It's going to be a better world, but it's also going to be a world where a lot of ideas that you might necessarily not agree with are going to be out there. Anyways, you could choose to adapt to this world, or you could choose to fight it. I think fighting it is really a losing battle, in my humble opinion. Anyway, so this is the iOS version of this app, of this protocol, better said, I apologize. It's called Deimos, right? So it is in test flight. There's only a limited amount of space. I did put a link to this app in the video description if you're interested in downloading it. It's a great app. It feels very similar to Twitter, but at the same time, it feels a little bit different, right? And the beauty of this, right, is that it feels similar to Twitter, but unlike Twitter, it's a protocol. It's a decentralized protocol, meaning you can't stop or you can't deplatform or you can't censor certain things. So what happened to Jordan Peterson, what happened to certain political people, what's happened to a lot of people where they've been completely deplatformed, doesn't work here. Doesn't work, right? Could you imagine that type of world where the government can't stop, or the government, the state, certain people can't stop certain information? And because they can't stop it, they have to answer to it. It's a completely different world than the world that we live in today. Anyways, so I told you guys, right, about how shouldn't trust governments. Right? I mean, sorry, not that you shouldn't trust governments, better said, is that you shouldn't trust a government with a CBDC because it gives them way too much power, right? And this example is Matt Taibbi. Matt Taibbi is who Elon Musk has been using to release a lot of the Twitter files. The Twitter files, basically, remember we were told for a long time that Twitter was not censoring people, was not, you know, was not deplatforming people for the state. Well, that all turned out to be BS. And what does this have to do with Bitcoin? What does this have to do with what I'm talking about? So even in a country with the First Amendment, which literally guarantees, it specifically says that the government should not censor speech. That's freedom of speech, is like guaranteed. Even the US government could not help itself but to censor speech, and it's all come out. So that being said, what I just said, right? Can you imagine them not being able to help themselves either with censoring money? Like, if they can't help themselves but to censor information, why would you trust them not to censor with money? Why? It doesn't make sense. If they've already broken the first level of trust, why would you trust them on the second layer? It doesn't make sense, right? And that's just information. Think about how much more powerful money is, right? And I would make the case that I don't think any human being can resist that temptation, right? That's my argument to it. Anyways, goes on to say, capsule summaries of all Twitter files threads to date with links and a glossary. So the first one, not going to get into that, right? Second one is Twitter's secret blacklists, right? Key revelations: Twitter had a huge toolbox for controlling the visibility of any user, including a search box. Goes on to say, Twitter, the FBI's subsidiary, a senior Twitter executive reports, FBI was adamant on implements to sharing classified information exists. Twitter also agreed to bounce content on recommendations of a wide array of government and quasi-government actors, from the FBI to the Homeland Security Agency, CISA, to Stanford's Election Integrity Project. So, like, and then of course a lot of political censorship as well. So my argument to all of this, right, to all of these revelations, all these things that came out, is that clearly, when there is an opportunity by the person who's in charge, the person who gets to decide what is misinformation, what is not misinformation, history has shown that that person always abuses that power for their own political means. I think what Bitcoin really makes the argument for, even like the First Amendment, even the Constitution made this argument, right? why is it that the Constitution is set in a way where it's like, look, government can't dictate what is free speech and what isn't free speech? I think they figured out that was always going to be abused. And Bitcoin works in a very similar way, right? No one has that power to censor another person. Nostr works in a very similar way. No one has that power to censor another person. Therefore, now you must debate what that other person is saying, and you can't just shut them up. You have to confront it and be like, okay, here's my argument. The only reason that people would want to censor it is because they can't debate that argument in good faith. They don't have an answer to it. They don't have a response to it, right? So what do they do instead? Just make it disappear because we can't talk about it. But these are the same people that are also saying, hey guys, we're going to release the CBDC. It's going to be inclusive. It's going to be great. And you could trust us with it. But they've been lying to you and telling you, no, we haven't been censoring you the whole time. And it only took Elon buying Twitter, taking it private for all of these things coming to light. And everything that they were saying about not censoring information, about not deplatforming people, it looks like a big percentage of those people that were censored, a big percentage of those people that were deplatformed because Twitter was asked by a government, the same government that wants you to trust them with CBDCs. Absolutely wild, absolute clown world. If you do choose to trust them and then they use that system against you, don't come crying. Right? Don't be like, oh, like I can't believe this is whatever. No one should have that godlike power. And I think Bitcoin is the option here. Bitcoin is the alternative. Bitcoin is the way out. Bitcoin and Nostr as well. I think decentralized protocols are the answer to this. And I think they're going to force a lot of the totalitarians, a lot of these governments that have been using this power for hundreds of years to change their behavior. Because if they don't, as the example that I showed you guys during the numbers, people are just going to leave. Just like, I don't want to put up with this. I'm leaving. And you can no longer hold their money hostage because now you have something like Bitcoin. This is a crazy world that we're heading into. You know, Mark Moss makes the argument that says we've been living in peak centralization. And I would make the argument that we're moving into a decentralized world. And I think that the world is going to be much better for it. I think the prosperity is going to be a lot higher. But I also think that there's going to be a lot of unintended consequences to it that I don't see a lot of people seeing. And I also think that people that have been living in this peak centralized world might not like this decentralized world, but I think that if they don't change their behavior, I think if they don't adapt to it rather than try to fight it, I think that they're going to be in a world of hurt, man. Things aren't going to be the same. I think the writing's on the wall. It's obvious to everybody. And I think people, it's just a matter of time before Elon Musk and Jordan Peterson wake up to the reality that if I do want this freedom, I need to use something like Bitcoin. I need to use something like Nostr because the alternatives don't work. They just don't work. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts? And then we'll hit the culture.
Well, I think that last point that you made, also, shouts out to everyone saying Soapbox Nico is the GOAT. So we love Nico Jones rants, but I think that last point you made is the most important. You know, this is why Bitcoin matters, guys. And obviously, we talk about it all the time about freedom of speech, money, the importance of freedom of speech. You know, we like to call it FU money on Twitter, a money that cannot be controlled is a very serious threat to the power structures. And also, you know, freedom of speech in and of itself, they do not want us conversating and finding the truth because, again, as Nayib Bukele wrote, don't drink the elite's Kool-Aid. They just have the monopoly on truth. And if they can continue to spread their narratives and their lies, then, you know, they can gaslight the normies out there. But to bring it back, that Jordan Peterson post, like, what kind of dystopian Big Brother 1984 type of sheesh is this? This is absolutely insane. And I don't think, at least, I, sorry, I know that this isn't just happening in Canada. People censoring themselves in fear of their jobs, in fear of what people will think about this. We're seeing this happen in the US. We're seeing this happen basically everywhere in the world right now. And again, we can't stress the importance of freedom of speech. Like, we are Americans. I know most of our fan base are Americans. And this is why in our Constitution, the First Amendment is freedom of speech, is because you need to be able to talk about the truth, or else, you know, like, what kind of world do we want to live in? But again, this is why Bitcoin matters. This is why we continue to come out here every single day and talk and tell everyone about the importance of free speech money, a money that can't be censored, that can't be debased, so that you can build on a strong foundation. So, you know, just to bring it back to the whole Noster idea and this decentralized protocol, like, I am super bullish on this idea of censorship resistant social media, because we as Bitcoiners, we love the idea of Twitter or social media being the battleground of ideas, so that we can all better understand what the true nature of reality is. And if we can't talk about truth, we can't talk about facts without getting canceled, what kind of world are we living in? But maybe I'm being a little bit hypocritical, because I'm not on Noster yet, and I'm just hoping that it doesn't turn into a small echo chamber and it does get more users. Again, maybe I need to jump on it so that I can be, you know, the change I want to see. But I think this is an idea that Nico and I talk about all the time, and I talk about all the time in the spaces, is that I fundamentally believe that the pendulum is swinging towards more free speech. And you just love to see it, that as someone said in the chat, Bitcoiners are building these protocols, and it's not just on Bitcoin. Like, we are building, Bitcoiners just build. Hold on, I have it for you here.
I am building.
Bitcoiners build the tools that we need, and I just love to see this happen in real time, and this is the world that we're living in. Like, it's hard not to stay bullish on the future, because Bitcoiners are building the things that we want to see. Gotta love it.
Gotta love it, man. Absolutely. And, dude, it's what you said there, man. I think the world is going to be radically different now that ideas or money can't be censored by the bureaucratic elite in power. And now they have to face those ideas. Now they have to face the concept that individuals could just leave. And it's going to be a lot harder for them to just stop them and hold them hostage. And I believe in the long term, that's going to force a lot of these, the state to change its behavior, because they have to incentivize people to stay. Like, it, you know, Opti said it in the beginning, right? The brain drain, right? The smartest people in the country, the most educated people. What happens is, look, Venezuela is a great example, right? You know, Venezuela went down the collectivist path, and, you know, the economy went to crap, and there was a huge exodus, right? It's a massive amount of people just left the country. And a big percentage of those people were some of the most educated, some of the business owners, and they just left. And that's terrible, right? So, you know, of course, some governments are going to go down the totalitarian path. But, you know, we have governments like El Salvador that are choosing to do the exact opposite. And that's why I'm so bullish on El Salvador. That's why I always make the joke with Opti. I'm like, bro, if shit goes to crap here, we're all just going to have to move to El Salvador. So be it, man. So be it. Anyways, everybody, let's check out the culture. Let's do it.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack, with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
Well. We're back for the culture. And I got a few tweets here, and this is an idea that I've been harping on a lot. And while on one hand, I do believe that Bitcoin is inevitable, I do believe that Bitcoin's incentives are aligned in such a way that it will do what we say it does. But on that point, the reason I wanted to do this today is because I think as people that strive to be better, we cannot ever stay complacent. And so continue to put in the work. I say it all the time. Proof of work is a life philosophy. And we are not going to usher in the Bitcoin standard without obstacles. So let's just get into, you know, how we can stay bullish, but also this idea of Bitcoin isn't inevitable unless individuals take on the action for themselves to push the Bitcoin standard. So this first post is by our boy Vake. I'm pretty sure Vake will be watching this. Shouts out to you, Vake. We appreciate all the love. And this is a screenshot from Noster, but it's posted by American Hodl. And he goes, wise words from my friend Vake over on Noster. And Vake goes on Noster. He goes, something I am going to keep in mind for 2023, Bitcoin is not inevitable. Bitcoin success is not preordained. It will be a success if all of us do our part to push the ecosystem forward and collectively these efforts push it over the finish line. I know you use collectively, but every individual action continuing to propagate Bitcoin is how we get over the finish line. And I have a bunch of tweets to kind of back up what I'm saying is because, look, I say it all the time here on the show, and I will continue to say this, that Bitcoin is forced to narrative. And no matter what we do, Bitcoin is on the top of mind in legacy media. It is the top of mind of the normie out there, of the average person out there. Everyone has heard about Bitcoin, but it's going to take individual efforts into, you know, what's the saying? Like society is morphed and formed by that heroic individual, that one person that changes everything. And who knows who that person is, but it's going to take individual action for us to make what we think Bitcoin as being inevitable. And to this point, I saw this other tweet by Eric Yates. Shouts out to Eric. He goes, few knew the term fiat money 4 years ago. Now most are familiar with it. And this is the primary catalyst moving the Bitcoin revolution forward. Define the problem. So as Bitcoiners, we continuously do our best to shape the narrative, make sure that people are talking on Bitcoin talking points. And I think we will continue to see this moving into 2023 and into the future. Again, I say it all the time. It is our meme world and everyone else is just living in it. We have truth on our side, but we also do our best to iterate on the Bitcoin messaging so that people understand what's going on. And back to this idea of Bitcoin is not necessarily inevitable without the individuals. How many times have we talked about fiat over the years? And now everyone is talking about fiat. And just this idea of, look, we can continue to badger the popular culture to understand why we hodl, why we do what we do, and we will just form the narrative around us. So it takes the individual out there to continue to push this stuff out there. And again, this is just to keep you guys stupidly bullish, as I always like to say. Shouts out to Last Coin Standing. And he goes, just a reminder, the ability to teleport a bearer instrument to a stranger thousands of miles away in any foreign country has never existed before in human civilization. The long-term implications for human peer-to-peer connection are profound, and we haven't even scratched the surface. And as we're seeing with Noster and with other Bitcoiners building in this bear market, we are starting to see the fruits of our labors go into, start to ripple into society. And yes, we are in, you know, the depths of the bear market, and you know, we are still kind of considered idiots right now because the price is down. In time, the world will get on the Bitcoin standard and we will be building the products that the world will be using going into the future, whether it's, you know, hardware signing devices, whether it's mobile signing devices, mobile Bitcoin wallets, whether it is a decentralized protocol like Noster. We are seeing people build the tools that we will be using to free humanity. And as Laser says at Wake to Bitcoin, he says, the fiat era is dying. We are seeing this happen in real time, guys. And it's becoming very true and very obvious to us Bitcoiners that the fiat era is dying. Whether you listen to like the conversations that Nico had last night with Jeff Booth, we are all concluding on the same idea. Bitcoin or slavery. You are either opting out of the madness, you're either opting out of the fiat system, or you will be corralled into the CBD system and you will literally be a fiat slave and have your labor, your energy, your time, your life force stolen from you if you do not take back your money, take back your life, and take your Bitcoin into self-custody. I've become a huge fan of Moon Wallet. I think, you know, lead people to the wallets that you like to use. I just got my Jade wallet in. I'm about to open that up so that that I can, you know, continue to use the tools that I think people should use. Again, I love Sparrow. I love Cold Card. We got to funnel people to self-custody so that they know the best tools to opt out of this madness, because the fiat era is dying and who knows how long it can go on, but we are ushering in the Bitcoin world because Satoshi solved money 14 years ago and still only 0.1% has adopted it. This is where we are in the world right now. So anyone that's not bullish out there, you got to wake up to the idea that there's not that many Bitcoiners out there. There's not that many hardened, militant Bitcoiners out there, except for you guys. You guys are the frontline soldiers, and you need to continue as an individual to put in the work, put in the effort to propagate the Bitcoin standard. Whether that is just hodling, whether that is building, whether that is making content, whether that is just receiving Bitcoin for your services, or just, again, just converting your fiat into Bitcoin. We all have an individual responsibility to propagate the Bitcoin standard, and Bitcoin isn't inevitable. It's going to take hard work from all of us to push Bitcoin over the finish line, to continue to educate the masses, to win the hearts and minds of the masses out there, because this is what we're doing. We are in a narrative warfare right now, and it's becoming very clear that we can co-opt the narrative, but it's going to take effort, guys. What's this other saying? Nothing easy, nothing in life worth having comes easy. And I really like this thread by Mitch Klee. And I talked about it yesterday in the spaces. And he says, recessions don't stop technological adoption curves. I don't see it stopping the adoption of the greatest form of money. And I think this is something that we can keep in mind during 2023. We are, you know, going into this global recession, or we're not there yet, but we've been in it. And so to that point, I don't think that the global macro economy is going to stop the adoption of Bitcoin. I think it's going to further the adoption of Bitcoin. So this year, I think we are going to see a lot of crazy stuff happen in Bitcoin. And we're going to have to continue to educate people, continue to get good stories out there, good narratives out there regarding Bitcoin. As I've been saying, ensure that the people know what the utility of Bitcoin is, why they should be holding Bitcoin, because I have one fundamental truth, a heuristic that I've been working on lately, and it's people want to live a better life. So show them how Bitcoin can give them a better life, how they can save for their future. And I think the heavy lifting of Bitcoin will handle itself once number starts going up, because Bitcoin is unstoppable. Shouts out to Michael Saylor. He's starting to meme. We got billionaires memeing out there. And I really like this picture right here. It is the Bitcoin train. Yes, I know I said it started this in the beginning by saying Bitcoin is not inevitable, but we have an army of DCAers out there. We have armies of Bitcoiners out there that are continuing to propagate the truth, continuing to propagate Bitcoin, saving in Bitcoin. The floor is set. And I think 2023 is going to be one of these years where at the end of the year, we're going to look back and be like, man, what a crazy, crazy year. But in my opinion, Bitcoin is unstoppable because of you guys out there, the individuals that are not giving up on the protocol, that are not giving up on hard money, and that continue to stack sats no matter what. You know, it takes a lot of little sacrifices to get Bitcoin over the finish line, but this is all we're doing, man. We are all here. We're all part of the journey. Continue to stay on the mission. Continue to propagate the truth, because Bitcoin is, and that's all that matters. So go share it. Go spread it far and wide and get more people on Bitcoin.
Absolutely.
End of rant.
Beautifully said, bro. Bitcoin is, and that's enough. And I agree with you, Opti. I think, look, we have the money with the best incentive. Okay, they all they have is coercion. They have dog shit. They can't even back up as to why you should use their money. They can't even answer as to why money should steal from you. They don't have answers to that. They can't answer that. What is they're gonna say? Oh, so that like we can continue like milking you, we can continue using people. Like, no, they don't have a good answer to that. So that's where we are. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that they're not gonna try. Does it mean that they're not going to try to, you know, maintain that privilege? They're not. Of course, they're going to try, you know, and this is what it's all about. This is what the focus of the channel is all about. This is what this transition that we're going to go through, it's going to be tumultuous, is all about. This is what Elizabeth Warren, when she introduced, she used the FTX blow up to introduce this bill that would basically, you know, neuter Bitcoin. I mean, not really, but an attempt to neuter Bitcoin, or at least the adoption of Bitcoin in the United States. But in that bill, they showed you their cards. They show you how they really feel about this thing and how terrified they are of this thing, right? So it tells you where they're coming from, but it's up to us. It falls down to us, right? We have to be the Uncle Jim with the family. We have to be the people as individuals to at least push this forward in the eyes of people, right? And you do that by Twitter, you do that by making memes, you do that by engaging with videos, you do that with engaging with tweets, right? Every tweet that you like, that counts, because that pushes on an accumulative, if you zoom out cumulatively, Twitter will push something that gets a lot of likes, right? Every tweet by the European Central Bank, right? They just tweeted it out saying, oh, crypto is dangerous. Go to the comment section, speak your mind, right? This is what it's all about. This is this narrative trench warfare that we're living. It's not a battle of rifles and it's not a kinetic war. It's a battle over the hearts and minds of individuals, right? They don't have truth on their side. We have truth on our side. They don't. All they have is lies and misrepresentations. So ridicule them, expose them. Tweets, memes, videos, those are our weapons, and we will win this thing. Incentives are stronger than coercion.
And then just to add on that, make sure you're telling people to take self-custody and to use the wallets that you like. I've become a huge fan of Moon, you know, Cold Card, Seed Signer, Jade, Sparrow, Spectre, Bitcoin Core. Like, make sure you're pushing people towards the best tools, because this is what matters, man. Like, make it simple for the people out there so that they don't have to think. People don't like to think, man. Just be like, yo, do this step by step, come back to me, and we're good. Like, let's ensure that we're not just giving people half of the solution. Let's give them the whole solution, which is taking Bitcoin into self-custody, doing, you know, the best practices out there, guys.
Amen to that. All right, everybody. Meme review.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
Kaboom Racks. All right, guys. We dropped this news source or this tweet January 3rd, which was what, Tuesday or something. The World Economic Forum dropped an article on the future of Bitcoin and shitcoins, and they, you know, they're trying to co-opt the narrative and that they need to put themselves in the front of it, and, you know, more regulation established institutions will help propagate the crypto and my blockchain. And I said, are you watching closely? It's back to the idea of the powers that be want to try to regulate Bitcoin so that they put themselves back as the middleman, because they have been disintermediated. Anyways, we're not here to do the news. We're here to do the memes. So shouts out to @hoardingsats. And we got an NPC drawing of Klaus Schwab. And he says, you will own shitcoins and be happy. And we got a Chad Bitcoin with laser eyes in his eyes. He goes, go fuck yourself. Bitcoin only. Let's go. I have to dunk where it's due. Anyways, this next one is by the Bitcoin Conference. And again, this is back to this whole idea of, like, the Lizzie Warrens out there that telling us Bitcoin is nothing years ago, and now that it's a threat to national security. And we got this meme, and it goes, the government while you're holding Bitcoin, laughing at us, Bitcoin is a joke. And then the government after you sell some Bitcoin, Bitcoin is a taxable asset. Like, which one is it? Is Bitcoin nothing backed by air, or is it something? You guys know the real answer. Anyways, this next one, shouts out to our boy TaxiCat27. He goes, all the experts agree, Bitcoin only. The types of parasites in the human body, roundworm, hookworm, fluke, tapeworm, shitcoins, and politicians. Savage. This next one, shouts out to my boy Big Sean Harris, who's, you know, who's doubling down on the idea of we need more women in Bitcoin. And I think the meme here is the fact that he's using Ariana Grande to try to propagate the truth that we know from Bitcoin. Anyways,
he's savage. so fucking savage.
And his tweet, he goes, understand the banking and monetary system and you will understand Bitcoin. And he's attributing this quote to Ariana Grande. It's not her quote. But anyway, I think this is Thomas Jefferson, if I'm not mistaken. He goes, it is well enough that the people of the nation do not understand our banking and monetary system. For if they did, I believe there would be a revolution before tomorrow morning. Oh, man. Ariana Grande. She's so insightful. All right, this next one, shouts out to Dennis Parker at Zentags on Twitter. I hope I said that right. And he goes, the truth chain. And we got a Bitcoin logo, and he goes, audited every 10 minutes by tens of thousands of people all across the globe. And then we got the Federal Reserve logo, has not been audited in 109 years. Absolutely wrecked. Which system are you going to choose? Which system seems more open, inclusive, and equitable? The answer is easy.
Slayed,
exactly. And this morning, the ECB dropped another article where they are essentially framing themselves as a good guy and that we got to trust the central banks to unleash a CBDC for the protection of the people. And I really like this meme right here by Orange Pill Willie. And he goes, they want to distract you from this. And we got Chrissy Lagarde over here painting themselves in a corner in due course, rates hiking and painting the floor with inflation. They cannot hide from the sticker shock. I think the world is waking up to this idea. And this next one, shouts out to RDBDC. I think this is a perfect pin to today's meme section. And he goes, not going to make it. Hashtag Bitcoin. And we got the average Stockholm syndrome citizen out there goes, no, thanks. I only trust state issued money. Here's your brain back with Bitcoin. Take your brain back, guys. This is a very simple idea. But hey, it is still an uphill battle for us. And of course, drop your meme review score in the chat so that we can cover it. Give me 1 second. Let's see. Which am I going to do? Okay. Throw back to Simply Bitcoin scores in the past. I'm going to give you this USB to USB-C cord, but it is Blockstream branded. Hey,
where did you get that?
It's from the Jade.
Is it? Do I have one? I want to know.
Do you I have should. One? You should.
Speaking of Jade, you know what I just got, Opti?
Uh-oh. I know what it is.
Ah!
Oh.
It's the
green. Wait, it's Jade. Transparent? Yeah, it's transparent one.
It's the transparent one. So that's
why it is camouflaged.
Yeah, it's camouflaged, bro. You can't even see it. Anyways, guys, this is Simply Bitcoin Live. Please put your score in the live chat so right, we can read your score.
We got a few.
We can read your score on whatever. While you guys do that, I want to give a shout out to our awesome clothing sponsor, representltd.com. Opti, model the shirt. Opti, model the Bitcoin shirt. Represent, only at representltd.com. They just dropped Simply Bitcoin merch, by the way. It's in the video description. You could also go to representltd.com, search Simply Bitcoin. It's all original stuff. There's a cap supply. Once that piece of merch is sold out, you can't get any more. So go to representltd.com right now. You could use the promo code simply-bitcoin. Get a major discount. Anything on the store. Anyways, let's pull up some of these scores. Brandon says score 37 sats. Very nice.
If you know, generational wealth, 37 sats. Very nice. Shouts out to CK.
Next one by HODLcoin. I give the memes a running Noster pleb chain. Very nice.
Let's go. Very nice.
Elaine, great memes. I give those memes the Bitcoin revolution coming to every city near you. And inevitable. Very nice, let's Elaine. Go. I like that. I agree with that. Diogenes, bro. I love this man. I love Diogenes. I give them.
Hold on. When Nico, when are you updating the rest of the transitions with the Diogenes?
He's working on it, bro. Diogenes is working on it. He's the man. Okay, Diogenes the Great. I give the memes an on point chat. Let's go. Very nice. Phil C. I give the memes my gas station sushi. Oof.
This guy's living reckless. Shout out to you, bro.
Okay. Opti's non-financial
rendezvous with Lizzie Warren.
Score. Lizzie Warren's day off after a business meeting with Saint Opti in Paris, Texas. I like this verse. It's absolutely hilarious. Toxicat. Brother, Toxicat was supposed to come on the show today, but I forgot. My fault. Toxicat, please message me in the morning or else I will forget. I have a lot of things going on nowadays.
Dude, I even looked at our calendar. I'm like, oh, we don't have a guest. Nice. Okay.
Just message me in the morning so I remember. TK says, my meme is trash, but I give those memes a BlackRock property rug pull in the UK. Oh, oof. Great score, dude. Great score. Hammersaw, I give the memes a Costco-sized orange pills. And Opti, is that the one? It's the last one?
Oh, okay. Wrong one. I was going to give it horns. I am building.
I am building.
Do we have a software release?
Software release. Stop believing.
Whoa. How do that feeling?
All right, software release. Let's check it out.
Bitcoin software release.
Brought to you by CipherSafe. Don't be that person that loses their Bitcoin seed due to fire damage, water damage, dog attacks. Back up your generational Bitcoin wealth on Steel, and there's no better place to do it than the Cypher Grid by CipherSafe. And now check out their new Bitcoin art, the Bitcoin Rulux Triangle, only on CipherSafe.io.
Let's go. Okay, guys. So back to the idea of pushing people toward the Bitcoin wallets that you love. One of my favorite wallets out here that as a Bitcoiner, someone that runs a node, is Zeus. Go check out at ZeusLN on Twitter. They have just released Zeus version 0.7.1. Again, pushing people towards the products that you like. The reason I usually don't push the noobs out there, because you got to run your own node for this one. But you guys are Bitcoiners. You guys are running your own node. So if you have a Lightning node out there, I highly recommend Zeus. And you can see some of the highlights to this one. Allows you to enter either a fixed sat limit or a percentage of the payment, Elon URL support, unified QR scanner on node configuration, new display settings, ability to display node nickname on balance, ability to select default home views, and new themes and bug fixes. Shouts out to Evan and the team over there at Zeus. Absolutely love this wallet. It's one of my favorites. And they're shipping out updates consistently. I think we've seen like 3 different updates in the past like week. So they are building.
I am building.
All right. Anyways.
I am
building. Let's roll this one out, Nico.
I am building. Guys, check out Simply Bitcoin's Telegram chat. Absolutely free. You got to go to www.t.me/simplybitcointv. Also check out Simply Bitcoin Unfiltered. Go to www.simplybitcoin.news. This is a written version of this show. We've been dropping hot fire. It's absolutely free. Go to it. We drop articles every once in a while. It's awesome. Straight to your inbox. It's dope. Go to Simply Bitcoin Unfiltered. Anyways, guys, we love you all. We hope you enjoyed Simply Bitcoin Live. Hope everyone had awesome holidays. Awesome. Happy New Year. I know it's been a little rough this week. We haven't been as consistent as usual. We apologize, but we will be consistent like usual starting next week. And of course, we'll be back tomorrow. And we have a lot of awesome guests on Simply Bitcoin IRL. And Opti is going to be dropping his new version of Simply Bitcoin TTO. It's going to be awesome. He has some plebs in the lineup. He's going to be interviewing plebs from all walks of life. It's going to be awesome. And we have some also special content that we have up our sleeves. So stay tuned. Very excited for 2023, and we're thrilled to have you guys along the ride. Love you all. Make sure to subscribe, hit the like button, and we'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of Simply Bitcoin Live.